Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good evening, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio, and this is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, as the man says, and we are coming to you from Maryland on a cold, blustery, wet first day of spring, and I've got my sidekicks, Laurie and Brian. Good evening, folks.
Hello there.
Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Bacon Radio, where you learn everything about bacon or nothing about bacon. Good evening, people.
Yes, it's always sizzling, always sizzling on Bacon Radio. All right. So what are you doing, Brian? I see you over there still being Mr. Healthy Living, Normal Living. So what's going on in Virginia?
Hey, look, you know, one of my clients today, just yesterday it was, said, you look like you're melting away, so I must be doing something right.
Okay, so you're like a slug. When you sprinkle salt on top of a slug, you're kind of melting away. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I figured you'd bring something flying into the conversation.
And Laurie, are you awake? Laurie was asleep just 7 minutes ago, by the way, folks.
Well, I have to say, I think St. Patrick's Day is catching up to me. Brilliant was in Chicago away on business, and I had, like, a ton of the neighborhood girls here. And I didn't get to bed till like, 3 in the morning. So I think it's just finally starting to catch up. And, yes, I'm thinking, I got to go to bed after this. I'm so tired.
You don't have,
oh,
you don't have jet lag. You have leprechaun lag, I guess, from Thursday night.
I think so.
Not quite the party animal you used to be, right?
No, I was never a big party animal, and you're right. But what happened was I have this weird thing about myself. I just can't go to bed. I want to wake up with it, you know, everything perfect. And the girls were wonderful. They all did the dishes, but they put it all aside. So I had to just make sure that I had all the champagne glasses, crystal, and I had the old-fashioned champagne glasses for our dessert, and I had the beautiful plates and all the silverware. So I just wanted everything put away before I woke up. So that's what took me so long to get to bed. It's like, okay,
well, why don't you tell everybody what you made? She made corned beef in the crock pot, which I had the leftovers. That was unbelievable.
Went crazy. Someone posted it on Facebook when I saw the sample of putting it in a crock pot, and I said, okay, so I had two crock pots going, and because they shrink too, and I had them on for 6 hours each, and you put them on, and you fill it with the water, and you put all the vegetables on top, and then you just close it and leave it, and I'm telling you, the girls were going crazy. They said, they went back for more. They couldn't believe the flavor. It melted in your mouth, and I will never cook it any other way.
Oh, it was excellent. The leftovers
were
fantastic.
That's the way to do it.
And the cabbage, well, we won't talk about the leftovers there. They just kind of affect me in a funny way, but everything turned out really good, and I got the leftovers. And what was that? Somebody made a white potato pie?
Oh, my girlfriend Deb. She walks in with these two pies in her hand. I'm like, what the heck are you doing? She's like, I had to bring them. It's a great recipe. It's called white potato pie, which I never heard of. And you, the way it's made, you can add lemon, you can add any kind of, flavoring extract to it to change the flavor. Like you can do coconut or you can do vanilla. But she did added lemon. And the texture, it's tough to describe. It kind of has a mashed potato texture to it.
Yeah.
But the lemon flavor.
It's like sweet potato pie, but a little more bland and has more of a lemony taste. I guess you could put lime in it or whatever, but she had put lemon in there.
She added
it was
lemon.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about it, never had it, and I had my first slice. But what little was left that Laurie didn't eat, I had a little piece of it, and it was pretty good.
I was eating it. But I have to say one thing. It was a really cute idea. My one neighbor brought over, and so simple, like she said. She took cucumbers, and she sliced them, and then she took feta cheese, and I think she mixed it with either cream cheese or sour cream. And then she put a little dollop on top. And then she added a sprig of parsley that made it look like a little shamrock. And she had, all on a platter decorated real pretty. It was so Irish and festive looking. And what a wonderful little appetite. But the parsley just was so cute. And it did look like little shamrocks on top of it. So, yeah, we really had. And I had, Celtic music playing. And it was just a really good time. So, and my tree looked beautiful, my Irish tree.
Happy St. Patrick's Day late, everybody. I guess tonight or today was Palm Sunday, too, so happy Palm
mm-hmm.
Sunday
uh-huh.
to all you religious folks out there. So,
got
okay.
my palms, yep.
The way we do this show now, we try to inform our listening audience of things going on in the food world with our little food news snippets. And Brian, did you prepare any wine snippets for tonight?
Did you ask me to prepare any wine snippets?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I'm getting old, so I don't remember things,
Well, then just
they're melting away.
Wait a minute. We're going to the food.
So your memory is melting away.
Yes,
well,
my memory is melting away.
All right, well, since you forgot, hold on a second. All right, we got to go to the snippets part of our show, and since Brian's not prepared. I am, as usual, because I have.
I have other snippets, but not wine snippets. That's
well,
right.
Last week we...
There you go.
I mean, I just assume that I no longer cover wine on this show, so I don't bother.
All right. Well, last week I told you could bring wine snippets, but I don't care. Here, I'm going to start off. Whole Foods Market will replace industry. This story cracks me up. Whole Foods Market will replace industry standard chickens with slower growing varieties by repopulating its suppliers' farms with breeds of chickens that take more time to reach marketable size. The retailer expects the chickens to yield better tasting meat and will complete the repopulation by 2024. Now, oh my God, I was in the chicken business. And they have gone to great lengths to get a feed conversion so that chickens grow very fast. And it's all because of, market prices, et cetera, et cetera. So can anyone on this panel tell me why do you believe Whole Foods wants to slow down the growing of chickens? Brian, do you have any ideas?
It's the same principle as that, old, used vegetable thing.
Yeah.
They want you to realize that their chickens are slow grown, so they're more expensive.
So they're more
money. Yep.
I think that's what
it's all about.
It's all about the dollar. I read this and I'm like, holy cow, I cannot believe the extent that these folks go through. But anyway, by 2024, if you do the math, that's 8 years from now, they're going to have slow-growing chicken. So I can't wait for that. I'll be an old man. I'll be slow then by that time. Anyway, okay. 7-Eleven. This is really not a food story, but 7-Eleven has a lot of food, so I kind of throw this in on the food snippet. 7-Eleven is relaunching its Zero Franchise Fee Initiative, allowing potential franchisees to open a 7-Eleven without the upfront expense of a franchise fee. Brian, have you ever wanted to open up a 7-Eleven? Now's your chance.
No. But, you know, it's funny because I have some, you know, local friends that, you know, we used to all hang out at this 7-Eleven for coffee in the morning. And they built a new one, like, across the street where there was already one across the other side of the street. And they closed down our 7-Eleven. And there was at one point said that they were going to go franchise with it. And we were all thinking, you know what, we should just buy the thing so that we could do what we want. You know, it's like they took away our bench outside. They wouldn't let us, like, congregate, you know, outside the store. I mean, you know, we spent more money there than anybody else. So, yeah, actually, there was a time when I had a little bit of a thought of buying a 7-Eleven.
they actually have pretty good food varieties in 7-Eleven. I went in one recently, and I was surprised they're really going after a lot more fresh foods and more foods in 7-Eleven. Kind of like a Wawa. You know, Wawa's big.
I was just going to say, they're trying to be like the Wawa's. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
anyway.
they had the bacon-wrapped hot dog, although
yeah.
I haven't seen it in a while, so.
Yes, on those things that twirl all day long, and they sell you taquitos and bacon-wrapped hot dogs at 7-Eleven. Okay. Here's one I thought was really weird. This is actually kind of creepy. Over half of all food facilities registered with the FDA are actually located outside the U.S., but products from foreign facilities account for less than 20% of the U.S. food consumption. There were 207,655 FDA-registered food plants as of January 1st, with 120,822 located outside the U.S. I just find that really weird. I don't know why, but that means that half the food out there is being processed outside of the U.S., but only 20% of it comes into our market. I find that intriguing and also scary.
No way.
That's what it says. Hey, and are you questioning my snippets?
I'm not questioning your snippet. I'm questioning the snippet.
Good answer, bro.
That was reported by the snippet. That was reported by Business Insider. I'm gonna check that. That just seemed kind of weird. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right, here's another snippet. A Nova Scotia Lobster Buyer Association, which I think is funny that they have a buyer association, is critical about new licensing requirements for lobster handling. The Nova Scotia Fish Packers Association objects to a new provincial policy whereby lobster buyers are required to take a lobster handling course before operating permits are renewed. Well, yeah, but here's the operating procedure. Do not put your hands in front of those big claws. What other handling procedures are there with lobsters?
First of all, by the time the buyers get to the lobster, the claws have already been banded.
Who has that fun job? Where does this one fit? They're not wild that way. Who has that fun job putting those little bands on those lobster claws?
Yeah.
You know what? It's another way for someone to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. All right. We talked about this last week a little bit. Elementary school cafeterias are offering more healthy items. Remember we talked about that and how breakfast was important. Different regions are improving in different areas, according to a study, in preventing chronic disease. Among the differences were that schools in the West were more likely to offer salad bars, than other regions, while Southern schools became more likely to stock pre-made salads. Now, why would you think that to be that way, Laurie?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Don't mind me. I was daydreaming for a second. I was looking at my notes. I have no idea what you just said.
You're not listening.
Tell me about cafeteria.
You know what? That is absurd to me because, first of all, can you just imagine kids dealing with a salad bar at school?
No.
They pick up the food, put it on the tray, and put it back.
Yeah, we're talking
and
elementary school.
There would be
there
would be no hygiene. It just makes more sense for them to prepare a salad and give them the freaking bowl of salad, whether if they want it or not. This way, food doesn't get played with.
Yeah, would you like a little boogers with your tomatoes there, Brian?
Oh,
yeah, of course. Of course.
Okay, here you go.
That's what you call pre-dressed salad.
The special seasoning. All right, here you go. This I like because I'm in the food packaging business. Bag the Ban is a company or group is working to get California statewide plastic bag ban repealed. The group is also attempting to put a measure on the ballot that would direct bag fees to environmental projects rather than to grocery stores. And I told Laurie this story. Who's making money on this bag ban? When you go to the store and have to buy a plastic bag, guess who's making the money? The grocery stores. So this company, or they're not company, but this group of people are trying to, first of all, stop the ban, and then any of the money that's being collected needs to go to environmental projects, not into the pockets of the grocery stores. And I'm all for that. It's just another money-making scheme in my opinion.
Money-making thing, yeah.
Well,
they do it a safe lot.
I'm gonna enlighten you. Okay.
Uh-oh, here
so if you've never been to Europe and you don't know what the Europeans do, you carry your bags, and if you need a bag, you pay for a bag. The reason being is that they are conservation conscious. They don't want the bags thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah.
You know, they want them to be recycled.
Blah,
so you're paying for the bag for the convenience of having a bag because you didn't bring one. But the idea is
Trader Joe's is like that too,
you.
I think, right? Isn't Trader Joe's like that? I mean, they have their own bags.
Well, Trader Joe's, Aldi's is like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
you bring your bags with you to Aldi's. And Trader Joe's, they'll give you bags, and they won't charge you. Even Whole Foods will do the same thing. You know, if you bring your own bags, they'll give you, like, a little wooden coin to put in a thing to donate 5 cents, you know, because you didn't, you know, you brought your own bags.
Mm-hmm.
But
we're going to all save the world, yes.
It's about conservation.
Yeah. We're going to save this big blue planet floating in the sky. We're like a little pee-pee in the middle of the universe, and we're... By not using bags, we're going to save the universe. Yeah, right.
Well, look, you have nothing to worry about. Your cave is all set. You can live in your cave, and you won't have anything to worry about from the rest of the world.
All right. Now, this article I found funny. First, when I read it, I thought, wow, this is kind of interesting. Okay, let me read the first line. Japanese demand for U.S. beef is expected to rise 9% this year, making it the fastest-growing market for the U.S. meat, according to the U.S. Meat Export Federation. And I thought to myself, well,
wow.
Why in the heck are the Japanese increasing their usage of by 9% this year? But then I read further, the rising sales are part of a larger trend whereby Asian consumers are expected to buy less beef from Australia, which is expected to see exports fall nearly 9% in next year. So then I did a little research. I guess there's some kind of problem with Australian beef going into Japan. So they're not really eating more beef. They just decided they're not going to eat Australian beef. They're going to eat U.S. beef, which is good for the U.S. beef industry.
Right. That's why that's good, yeah.
Do you know anything about this, Brian? I have to do some more research. But
I'm surprised, you know.
We need Andrew.
I thought that the Japanese had the best beef in the world. You know, they had the Kobe beef and the Wagyu beef and all
Kobe
that.
Kobe beef, yeah.
You know. So I guess they priced themselves out of their own market, and they need something cheaper.
Okay. Here you go. This is one of those number stories that intrigues me. Nearly 20% of U.S. potatoes are exported, accounting for, listen to this, $1.7 billion, Potatoes USA. frozen potatoes represent about half the exports. The group noted fresh exports are down 8% compared to last year, but growth is strong in Mexico. So 20% of our potatoes go out of the country, making up $1.7 billion in sales. Why did I read that? Just because I think the numbers are amazing. People don't understand how big food business is. When we start talking dollars and quantities, it's just a ton of food that is out there feeding the world. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But you know, where those potatoes are going.
It's
because of the rising. It's because of the rising fast food industry in Europe.
Oh, you're probably right. We talked about that last week.
Yes.
You know,
okay.
where are the McDonald's French fries going to come from in Austria and Italy and France?
True.
I mean,
we gotta come from here, probably. Now, this is interesting and very timely because our president, Mr. Obama, was over in Cuba today. Well, this is an interesting story related to that. Florida farmers worry Cuban imports will threaten their business. Florida's larger organic growers may be particularly hard hit because Cuba has a strong organic farming sector. Cuba would likely export many of the same products grown by Florida organic farms at first, and the country's advantages include lower wages, state subsidies, and cheap transportation. So the Florida farmers are worried about this newfound friendship we have with Cuba. So I guess the Florida farmers are not real happy about Mr. Obama being over there today, but that's what's going to happen. All right, this is one of my favorite stories of the night. Brian, have you ever eaten baby eels?
I've eaten eel in a Japanese restaurant.
Sure.
I don't know if it was baby eel.
Yes.
Well, get this. Maine's baby eel harvest will likely be more successful this year because of warmer weather. After fishermen caught less than 5,300 pounds of the baby eels against a quota of nearly 10,000 in 2015, prospects are much better for this year due to the rivers running at higher temperatures. And what's causing higher temperatures, Laurie?
Global warming.
There you go. I don't think I've ever had eel. So you've had it at a
I have. I don't know if it was baby. I'm with Brian. I echo what he just said. I don't know if it was baby eel or not, but
I couldn't tell you if it's baby, but it's very commonly served in Japanese cuisine. You can't have it as sushi. It's generally cooked,
right,
and they use like a Japanese barbecue sauce over it. You actually might like it. It's fatty like mackerel. You know, it's like really fatty like mackerel is. But, you know, with the barbecue sauce, I guess maybe if you can get them to bacon wrap it, you'd be okay.
I've never had it with barbecue sauce. I didn't have it that way.
Well, it's generally, you know, if you get, like, eel sushi, it's cooked and it's got a little bit of, like a glaze on it.
Yeah, it does. I didn't know. I don't think it was barbecue sauce, though, when I had it. And you're right. It's not sushi style.
It's not barbecue sauce like you would, you know, what
typical
William
right
would put on his, you know, whatever he throws on the grill.
So what you're telling me is the next time I put a couple of chickens on the grill, I should get myself some eel sauce and put it on the chicken?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's on a roll tonight, isn't he?
Then it'll taste like eel. You know, we say everything tastes like chicken.
Yeah, it'll taste like eel.
All right, now this is one that really blew me away. Okay, IHOP. Everybody knows IHOP, International House of Pancakes, right? I'm going to do a little quiz here. Brian, half of IHOP's patrons are at what age? What would you guess? What is the age of half of their patrons?
Oh, I would say from the 40 to 60 range.
Laurie?
I would go higher. I'd say more of this, you know.
That's
I would
what
say
I thought,
though,
too, but get this. This is amazing. Half of IHOP's patrons are now under the age of 34. The chain made special efforts to appeal to younger customers, such as focusing on social media, opening outlets near college campuses, and updating its menu with dishes like the croissant waffle. IHOP also revamped restaurants with youthful amenities, such as including high-top community tables and Wi-Fi outlets, reported Fortune magazine. I would have never thought that in a thousand years that under 34. So it's like the millennial
boy
show.
It's kind of, you know, the ones that I see at our IHOP, I mean, we go like maybe twice a year, you know, for breakfast. You know, usually the age group is older. Now, funny you should mention IHOP. I have to look up and see if Friendly's is in trouble because the Friendly's near us just closed down.
Well, you know,
I can't figure out that
Friendly's where you live, Brian. I've been there when I lived in Richmond. They would have the worst service. You order ice cream, it took them 23 minutes to give you an ice cream cone. They had the worst service.
Well, it still was that bad.
Really?
I can tell you. We sat there forever waiting for ice cream, and you know, we only go there for ice cream. You don't go for anything but breakfast at IHOP, and you don't really go for anything but maybe breakfast and ice cream at Friendly's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that Friendly's in Richmond. I'm surprised it was open all those years because that was back in the 90s.
Oh, wait. You're talking about the one on the north side or the south side where you used to live?
Well, the one on the north side over out your way.
Okay, yeah. I mean, because I know that that Friendly's has always had bad service, but I can't figure how a Friendly's would shut down. You know, it's like an institution.
Well, they're not very friendly. They're not very friendly. That friendly, I can tell you that. Okay, Now this is interesting and actually sad. Almost 2/3 of rural grocers plan to leave the business within 10 years, but most have no plans to ensure stores will continue to operate after they are gone. According to the University of Minnesota, more than 90% of grocer surveys said the three biggest challenges were competition with large chains, grocery stores, high operating costs, and narrow profit margins, reported the Minneapolis Star Tribune. 2/3 of rural grocers will be shutting down within the next 10 years. That's weird. I mean, I know Walmart's killing them, but I just never thought that many of them.
Well, look at the Giant we're at today.
True.
I mean, look,
Giant in Richmond.
Look at that. I mean, it's amazing. It was beautiful. They can't compete.
Yeah, we have, they have Giant in Northern Virginia, and we have another one of that company's stores called Martin's.
Oh, yeah.
Part of the same company.
They're nice, but they put mom and pop out of business, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
here we go.
So does Walmart.
I know. Didn't realize it was that bad, but 10 years from now, there ain't going to be hardly any of those small grocery stores left, according to this study. Okay, here's another story on fish. Giving farmed fish plant-based feed may alter the level of healthy fatty acids in their meat. Oh, boy, here we go. According to a study in Environmental International, researchers found using crop-based feed ingredients such as corn, soy, and wheat causes changes to the fatty acid content of fish, but more research is needed to determine the impact on human nutrition. And what kind of corn and wheat and soy are they giving them, Brian?
Gee, I don't know. Please tell me, oh great kahuna.
Well, I would imagine it's GMO. Maybe that's the problem. I hope not, but anyway, okay, here we go. I think we talked about this last, but here's another story about an algae bloom in Chile is resulting in higher salmon prices globally. Over the last month and a half, salmon farmers in Chile were hit by production losses of 20%, representing approximately 100,000 metric tons worth, or about $800 million worth of salmon. The drop in supply has caused prices to rise 25% to $5 per pound, reported the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. So salmon's going up quite a bit. If you haven't seen it yet, the supermarket is going to be happening soon because of the
algae. We love salmon.
Yes, you better load up on salmon. Okay, Laura, you'll like this story. The specialty tea market is growing 8 to 10% a year, according to the Tea Association of the USA. I love all these little groups. The Tea Association of the USA. Such teas
not a little
are particularly...
group, believe it or not. It's huge.
Say what? Say what?
The Tea Association is, of the USA is huge. You said I love this. Oh, yeah. It's huge.
Oh. Such teas are particularly attractive to these millennials who like to discover new and differentiated flavors, ethnic or new culture offerings, and craft selections of tea. So 8 to 10% a year. I like black tea. I don't like all that other fancy stuff. You drink that crazy nighttime feel-good tea, whatever that stuff is.
I love all the
teas. I have lots of teas. I used to be a big tea toddler. I have lots of tea in the house.
Now, this one...
Go ahead.
What? I'm sorry. I'm cutting in because I'm getting bored. But what do you like about tea?
No. I was going to tell
Lori. You're possibly getting bored. You've been reading the whole time.
Place. There used to be a place in the Village in New York, in Manhattan.
Yeah.
It was a spice place called Aphrodisia on Bleecker Street. And they had... You would have loved it, Laurie, because they had so many different tea blends, and you'd buy stuff by the ounce. You know, you just fill a little bag, and you can get whatever you want, and you could even make your own blends of mixing things.
Mm-hmm.
But you would have
place
loved
in Ridgewood,
it.
New Jersey.
No
I think it's still there. There's a place in Ridgewood, New Jersey. It's got to be still there. Like that, it was beautiful. Had all the all the old fashioned tins and stuff. Like you said, you can go in and get your little plastic bag, and you would blend it. And
yeah, it was like going into an old fashioned drugstore because it had all the glass canisters and all.
Oh, that's right, all the glass canisters.
Yeah. And when you walked in, it's just like the smell just like hits you from the combination of everything.
I know. Yep.
Yeah.
He's getting bored. I'm drinking sleepy time tea over here. You'll get bored with this. But we'll let you know when you guys are
done. Everyone should go to a tea shop once in their life. Don't you think, Brian, at least it's a wonderful experience, you know?
Yeah.
Even if they don't like tea, just to go there and just experience, like you just said, all the different flavors and the smells. And you just feel relaxed. There's something about it when you walk in.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Laurie. Yeah. How many cavemen people like me do you see at these tea shops?
None.
You're not welcome at something sophisticated like that.
Right.
All right. I'm done with tea. Let's go to this. Now, this is a very interesting story. This one I won't fall asleep over. We talked about maple syrup last week, but here's something very interesting about maple syrup. Pure maple syrup may help prevent Alzheimer's disease, according to a study presented at a meeting of the American Chemical Society. Researchers found maple syrup extract prevented the tangling of certain proteins which can lead to Alzheimer's and other neurological problems. Pretty cool.
That is pretty neat. Did you get that article from Frank Delaney? Like I said, he posted something like that, our good friend Jeff Franco.
Yep, it's a big story.
But you realize something. If those maple trees were genetically modified, then that maple syrup would cause Alzheimer's disease.
Very good point.
Remember last week we talked about there's a shortage of maple syrup, too. Just think about this. You think there's a shortage now. They just use it, on pancakes? If they find out that it's... prevents Alzheimer's disease, I think we better start growing maples in our backyard, Lori.
I know.
Okay. California, you're going to love this one, Brian. A California assemblywoman will seek a constitutional amendment taxing candy and snacks. Christina Garcia proposed reversing a 1992 decision to classify sweets and snacks as tax-exempt essential food items, reported the San Diego Union-Tribune. So she's going to seek a constitutional amendment. This cracks me up. Taxing candy and snacks.
Hey,
I just find that very intriguing.
Tax on all the food.
Well, yeah. Snickers bars are going to go up. I mean, Laurie, we paid, what, $1 for our Reese's Cups yesterday?
And the king size. I don't buy the little ones. I have to buy the king size Reese's.
I don't want to pay no tax. I don't want to pay no tax on that. Okay, here we go.
We'll find you some black market contraband so that you don't have to pay tax on it.
I will. Okay, now back to our discussion about bag ban. A Wisconsin bill would ban any future, I love this, would ban any future local initiatives restricting the use of plastic bags in a variety of other single-use containers. The bill would restrict cities or counties from regulating containers made of plastic, paper, cardboard, metal, or glass, and prohibit communities from regulating single-use bags at retail locations, including restaurants. Yay, I'm moving to Wisconsin.
Well, good luck with that. I'm not going. I'm not leaving here.
I was actually in Milwaukee on Friday, so anyway, they're trying to pass it so you can't ban all these things. So I say yay to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Vidalia onions. Have you ever had those, Brian?
Of course.
Yeah, but wait, I wanna go back for a second.
Oh, I figured you would.
What are they gonna put this stuff in if they ban single use containers?
No, they're saying they want to stop people from banning them. They shouldn't be able to ban this. They're saying that you have to put it. You know, you can't ban people from using one-way containers.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is why the ban was there in the first place. I mean, what do you just go to the grocery store and you like grab something and you carry it in your hand?
If you left it out
in
the environment,
refrigerator.
That's what they would do. You go in there and you pick up your boneless breast and stick it in your pocket. I mean, I don't understand either what they think you're going to do. I mean, it's like
sanitary, right? Reusing a container that you brought from home. I can understand recycling, you know, grocery bags, but things that carry food. I mean, come on.
Well.
All right, now
you left it out to those wax, that's how you'd be doing. You'd walk in, you pick up your milk. I guess you just get it right from the cow, and you, like, I don't know what you would do, squirt it in your pocket. I don't know.
And pull a Homer Simpson and just, like, stick your mouth under there, right?
I'm telling you, there's a crowd of people out there who believe we should get rid of all those things, so it's not a laughing matter, because I've dealt with them for years, and there's a whole ton of them. Don't ask me how you're going to take it home, but they want to get rid of all this stuff. All right, let's go back to Vidalia onions. Have you ever had Vidalia onions, Brian?
Yes.
Well, good for you. They're expecting a bumper crop this year. Growers and shippers are expecting high market when the Vidalia season opens April 25th, and they're expecting it to be a bumper crop. Vidalia onions actually come from Vidalia, Georgia. That's how it got started. But now there's people that are growing Vidalia onions in Texas and other states. So that's not really even fair. That's kind of like your wine industry. I mean, they call certain things champagne and other items. So how can Texas call them Vidalia onions?
You mean like the Russians that are growing Idaho russets and calling them Idaho potatoes?
Exactly.
Remember we talked about that?
Yes, we talked about that. All right, I have a long story here that we only got 6 minutes. I'm not going to read it right now. It's about a tiny Vermont law that is going to bring the food industry to its knees regarding GMO labels, but I'm going to hold that to another time. Because it's pretty long, but Brian, did you have anything you want to add? Any kind of snippets?
I don't have. I could either do snippets or I could do something that's a little bit more fun. I've got a whole bunch.
Great, that's not fun.
Show of things that weren't fun, according to Brian.
Yeah. I have a whole bunch of did you knows.
Okay.
Would you like to do some did you knows?
Sure. There's
yeah,
some
why
did
not?
You knows.
And here's one that definitely fits you, Grill. Because
okay.
I can honestly I've I've been with you, I've seen you eat. So did you know that unless food is mixed with saliva, you can't taste it? Which means you basically have to inhale it and swallow it.
If it's not really, if it's not mixed with saliva, oh, I guess that's true, because then your tongue would
work. Well, because obviously you're not chewing it, so it's not, you know, it's not hitting your taste buds. So, I mean, I think, what does it have to do with the saliva? It's the fact that you're not chewing it, and it hasn't hit your, what they say.
Okay.
Did you know that rabbits like licorice? I'd like to know what rabbits don't like, so I can put it out there and get rid of the rabbits I have.
How do they know that, though?
Obviously, they've done an extensive study that someone spent millions of dollars on.
Yeah, let's put some licorice on here. Maybe they won't eat it.
Well, but the next one is even funnier.
Okay.
You know that reindeer like bananas. And when's the last time you've seen a reindeer and you've had the opportunity to feed it a banana?
A banana?
To find out whether it liked it or not. don't feed your dogs macadamia nuts. Did you know that macadamia nuts are toxic?
They're toxic, yes.
Did you know that honey is the only natural food which never spoils?
Yes, we knew that. Laurie and I talked about that last week.
Did you know that you burn more calorie eating celery than it contains?
Really?
Oh, really?
Well, I can believe that because it takes so long to chew celery.
It's like eating a carrot. Carrot takes a long time to chew, and, you know, you chomp it and you chew and chew and chew and chew. Yep.
Okay, now here's a funny one, and I'm reading this exactly the way I'm looking at it. Did you know that the first Burger King was opened in Florida, Miami, in 1954? Can you tell me what state Miami is? And what city Florida is?
What?
It says
it's Miami,
the first
Florida,
Burger King opened in Florida, Miami.
Oh.
Instead of Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida.
Did you know that the croissant was actually invented in Austria? Don't tell that to the French.
No kidding.
Really?
Did not know that.
No, I didn't either.
No, this one is
obvious. Brian, these are riveting. Did you know? I have to say.
Hey, I just report the news.
Yes, you do.
Well, we got a minute and 49 seconds as it stands.
Oh,
I have
a question.
Yes.
Is the boss going to give us off for Easter next week?
Oh, that's right. Next Sunday is Easter, and I guess
we're not going
to have a show because the rabbits will be eating licorice, and they'll be busy on
and you'll
Easter,
be cooking
so
me a ham on the grill?
Yes, I'll be cooking you a ham on the grill.
Yay.
So we won't be here next Sunday, but the following Sunday we'll be back in our normal time, 8 p.m., and we've got 1 minute left, so anything else anybody else wants to say before I sign off? I guess not.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
Did you know that I'm going to Austria next month?
Oh, good for you.
Lucky you.
And by the
Yay.
Way, Brian, while you're there, get some croissants. Get some croissants while you're there.
Yeah.
I am definitely going to investigate that. I am going to question Austrians on the street and ask them if they know that the croissant was invented in Austria.
All right, we got to go. 30 seconds. Everybody come
Wonderful.
Back and listen to us 2 weeks from now. We won't be here next week for Easter. Have a nice
Happy
week.
Easter.
Have a nice Easter, and we will
Happy
see you
Easter.
2 weeks.
of the ear, that's all, folks.